Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm going to give us a couple of places this morning as a text. Number one, Luke chapter number 10 is where we'll begin. Luke chapter number 10. And then I want to go to Genesis chapter number 12. Our text will be in Luke chapter 10. Then we'll begin in Genesis chapter 12. Stand if you can for the reading of the Word of God. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Turning to Genesis chapter number 12. A lot been shared this morning about Abraham, but this was the call that God gave to Abraham in the very beginning. Genesis chapter number 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. I want to stop right there. Bow with us if you would. Father, open our hearts to this truth today. Help us to see, but also to hear. We pray for guidance, and may our lips be anointed, but arrest every thought, that it all be, Lord, according to your truth, and speak. Speak, if necessary, in a way that, as Abram heard, it moves us to do your will. We pray for help as we're desperate in need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to pray for us. I want to be obedient today in this truth. I want to start as a reminder this morning that in the book of Acts, when Jesus was fixing to ascend, that he gave unto his disciples a commission. And he told them to go into all the world and to preach his gospel to them, baptizing them all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that he had taught them. And we know that to be the Great Commission, a call from Christ to his followers to go out into the world and to bid the rest of the world to know who Jesus Christ truly is. Now, when the disciples went out, they were certainly empowered. Empowered in ways that I can only read about. I don't know of any ability within myself to do some of the things they did. It certainly God used them in extraordinary ways to prove that this gospel message for which he was establishing and building a church in the beginning was extraordinary, but real. But we find in Luke chapter number 10 that Jesus gives them a different thing to pray for. And I found in it this week, as I was studying this particular passage, a challenge. And I pray that God will reveal it to us today. Therefore he said unto them, I'm in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now the first question is, has he not already sent forth laborers? Are we not laborers for Christ? I think the answer quickly ought to be, yes, we are. And yet what I find is very few are out there doing what he's bid us to do. Now I'm certain that the commission that he gave to the disciples that day before he would ascend back to the Father was clear. I believe he meant it for all of us. For every disciple, every follower of Christ that would come after that point would also, I believe, receive the commission to be salt and light in a world that is dark and in desperate need of that. No question. But how many of us today would say unashamedly that I am doing that? I am going into the field and I am actively seeking the harvest of Christ. What Jesus said to the disciples is that when he looked, he said, the harvest is great. And as we look around us today, there's certainly no lack of darkness. There's no lack of harvest that is out there. There are people everywhere that are blind to the truth of Jesus Christ. And yet we wonder, where is the gospel? The apostle said in one place, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It is hid to them that are blind to it. And if, in effect, the only way they'll ever know the gospel is if you and I are taking the gospel into the world. Now, we've certainly seen throughout the history of time how God has appointed and I believe anointed certain people to stand in miraculous ways. And I don't necessarily want to preach on modern times, but I want to preach on the Bible. I want you to see how God used specific men to do his will. Number one, I read to you in Genesis 12 concerning Abram. Here was a man. Now this was before Israel, mind you. Right? This was before anything that we know thereafter to be the chosen people of God. God chose Abram. And he came to Abram and he gave him specific instructions. I want you to gather up your family and I'm going to send you to a place that you've never been. Now, he didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't give him the coordinates of the location. He didn't give him all of the information in detail. He just told Abram, I want you to obey me. I want to take you to a place that you've never been. I am making you a promise today, a covenant to you that will extend not only to you, Abram, but to your family, to their children, and to their children, and to children that would be born as the stars are in the sky innumerable. I am making you a covenant today, a promise today that if you will obey me and you will operate in faith toward me and what I've given you to do, I'm going to do extraordinary things. And did he not do that? Abram stepped out on faith and he gathered his family and Lot and his people and he took off and there they followed the Lord into that land of Canaan. And he found that God wasn't kidding when he said, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to do some things for you that you've not yet understood. Nor when you see it, you will only but see me more as the God that I am. But when he showed himself to Abram, Abram was faithful and he stepped out from God. Now, I would have to say this. Abraham heard from God very clearly, didn't he? He heard the voice of God and he understood what it was that God was asking him to do. And there was something about the commission that God had given to Abram that caused him to step out in faith and do the work of God. I wonder today if he could still move in us that way. We find in the scripture in the book of Exodus, you'll read about a man who was raised up under Pharaoh, born an Israelite, born a Jew, but found himself adopted by one of Pharaoh's daughters. Moses reared under the king himself, yet when he come of age, he found that even as a Jew, he couldn't stand by and idly watch as they were persecuted and abused. And as Moses had stepped forward and even murdered one of the Egyptians for his deeds against a fellow, a Jew, the Bible said that he found himself after that on the backside of a desert, tending his father-in-law's sheep. And the Bible said one day that he saw a bush, and the bush was on fire. And he looked, and as he saw the bush, it didn't burn up. It just burned continuously. And he said to himself, he said, I've got to understand what it is about this bush. And as he made himself closer to the bush spoke to him. God spoke to him through the fire. And he said to him, take your shoes off, Moses, for the ground that you are on is holy. And we know that the message that he would begin to reveal unto Moses is that I have picked you to go unto my people, to take my message unto Pharaoh the king, and to tell him to let my people go. Now, Moses, he was, as he heard the message, he was certainly afraid of what it is he had been asked to do. And he began to give excuse to God. And yet in all of these things, God proved himself to Moses. And Moses left that day on a mission for God. How is Moses different than you and I? How is Moses different in his mission and what it is that God has instructed him to do? Abraham just believed God and followed him and saw extraordinary things. Moses left the desert that day along with Aaron and showed up at Pharaoh's house and began to tell him just what God had shown him. And the scripture teaches us there that he led them out of Egypt. God used Moses in a miraculous way to prove himself God, to prove himself to all of Egypt and all of the world that God can do anything. He used the man Moses as his servant. No one would dispute the fact that Moses was sent by God to do this great thing. He didn't call someone else. He called Moses to do that. We read in scripture, the Bible tells us about Isaiah, a prophet of God. But when he was called, you'll read about it in Isaiah chapter number 6. That Isaiah had a vision, quite real, I believe. The Bible said that he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. And in that vision, he said that his train filled the whole temple. And that when the seraphims that were around him, each having 6 wings, the Bible said that they cried continuously, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah seen this, he saw himself and recognized that he was undone. And he cried out unto God and he said, woe is me. He said, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And yet the Bible said the seraphim, I took the tongs and pulled one of the hot coals off the fire and brought it and placed it on Isaiah's lip and purged him of his sin. And then he heard a voice that said, who will go for me? Who will take my message to the world? And Isaiah, having been filled with the glory of God at that moment and purged of his sins, immediately raised his hand and he said, here am I, send me. Isaiah went, did he not? Isaiah went and he preached the gospel of God to people. You say, where are you going with this, preacher? I'm trying to get us to understand that we have to be sent. We have to be sent. What Jesus said to the disciples that day was, as he said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the field. How many of you would say honestly that I need a greater burden for the lost people? I need a greater desire for the souls of those that are around me. I need to feel in my soul the burning of that commission. I want to be sent by God. Now some would say he's already sent you. He's already given you the commission. Which is true.
But where are the laborers? Are we not at that place where we have to look around us and say, yes, there is a commission to go, but where are the people that will say, here am I, send me, I'll go, I'll do it? How many of us have placed ourselves before God in such a way that He would then lay upon us a burning desire, a will, a mission to take His word to someone or many? How many of us have been in the place of Isaiah and we didn't raise our hand? How many of us have been in the place of Moses and we said, I can't do that. You've made a mistake in picking me. I stutter in speech is what Moses said. God took care of that for him, didn't He? See, Moses was sent. Abram was sent. Isaiah was sent. We read of another person who the Bible said the word of the Lord came to, and He told this man, He said, I need you to go down to Nineveh, and I need you to tell them that I have heard of their wickedness, and that if they don't repent, my judgment is coming. And what Jonah say? This is an important one. I want you to get this. Jonah said, I'll not go down there. As a matter of fact, he went somewhere else. He went the opposite direction of Nineveh. He headed out toward Tarshish. The Bible said he paid for fare on a ship and got on. And the scripture said they took off on their way to Tarshish. And we remember the story, how that storm came. And violently they were tossed to the point that everyone thought they would perish. And as they cast lots to whose God was doing this to them, they all fell on Jonah. And when they came to Jonah, they said to him, who is your God and what is this that you've done? Jonah told them quite honestly. He said, my God's the God of the winds and the waves. He said, I'm the reason all this is going on. If you want to stop, if you want to save yourselves, he said, throw me overboard. Here is a man that said no to God. And what did God say? That's what I'm getting to. Shame on me if I say no to God. But what I'm saying is God, make me. Send me as you have sent those before me with a burning desire to take the gospel to the... Not because it's just a word in a book. Not because it's something I know is my duty and an obligation to do for the kingdom of God. But because there is a burning in my heart that I have been sent to do it. There's a difference between the person in the world that is on a mission and the one that does not have one. There is a difference between them. I believe the church is filled with people today that enjoy being a part of the family of God, and yet they are not laborers because they have not experienced the sending of Christ in their own heart. Jonah said, I won't go. God said, yes, you will. Is it just saying, no, I can't do that? You think if God intends for you to be the one that brings the message to that person, that you can excuse yourself from the calling of God? I say no. What I say is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the harvest. And when I say send, I mean send. Amen. People on a mission with an unquenchable desire to take what has been burned into their heart as their reason for breathing. Amen. God help us. That's a laborer. Amen. That's someone that will get it done. Not that we can save anyone, but He chose me and you to take the gospel to the world. True. Jonah said, throw me overboard. You know what Jonah was saying? He said, I'd rather die than go to Nineveh. I'd rather die than go tell them about you. Why? He hated Nineveh. What he wanted was nothing about God to ever be told them, because what he knew about God was merciful.
Amen. Yeah.
And if they turned and repented, that God would forgive them.
Right.
No, what he wanted was the judgment of God to be poured onto Nineveh.
Right.
I'd rather die, he said, than do what you want me to do, God. And you know what? They threw him overboard. And God had prepared a great fish. Well, this really trips up the Gnostics, doesn't it? Really trips up the atheists. When God prepared a fish. When old Jonah was heading toward the water, there was a fish coming toward the air. And the Bible said that he swallowed Jonah. Into the belly of the great fish went the prophet Jonah, the man that said, I won't go, I won't do. And yet what God was saying was, yes, you will. I have picked you to do my bidding in this place at this time. I want God to move in a place like this today, in a world that is in chaos, in a place where people don't know what to do and they're looking for light. I need God to send people into the field with a passion and a burning that will not be quenched until they have told the counsel of God. What we need is people that live with a passion and a hunger. You say, where's that going to come from? The only way that the messenger knows to go take a message is when he's received it.
Right.
When in that message he has heard clearly the direction that is to be taken. The Bible said that the great fish took old Jonah down. Bible said to the bottom of the ocean they went, and there Jonah recognized his condition. What Jonah recognized was is that he wasn't going to die. He thought it would be quick and done and over, but what he found was wrapped in the seaweed of that hell, he found himself in an existence that he recognized God controlled, not him. What he recognized was is that there is nothing but God. When we get to the bottom line, there is only one in control. And when he found himself there, he cried out. In repentance, he said, God, I'm sorry. In a recognition of God's power, he cried out unto God. You know what he said? I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. And the Bible said that great fish came up toward the land, spit him out, basically threw him up. When he hit the dirt, he was running to Nineveh. He wasn't. The Bible said that he made the journey. 3-day journey. He was there quicker than that. The Bible said when he came through the gates, he was crying, repent. Repent. And he began to tell them about God. Repent. And the Bible said the king heard the message, believed the message, and cried to the whole land to repent in sackcloth and ashes. God was merciful to Nineveh, and God used the man he picked. Who are you to say to God, I'll go to anybody but him. I'll talk to anybody but her. I'll serve in any ministry but that one. May I say to you today, when God says, I pick you, that he meant I pick you. We can take the long way around like Jonah and experience a great deal of hardship and suffering. But oh, in the end, to be sent is the greatest thing ever to happen to any of us. What good is a messenger if he has no message? What purpose in life does he hold if he's not running to bear the news? And you, my friend, as the children of God, are messengers to Jesus Christ. You have the message. What we need, we have the commission. We knew coming into this what we were going to be, ambassadors for Christ. We've heard, we knew, having become a child of the King, that we become His ambassador, His representative, that we as the people of God are the voice of God, the trumpet of God, that He picks up and He uses to share with the world that He's real. And yet some get into the family of God and then somehow think, I'm no more an instrument. I'm one of them cups. You got them in your cabinet like I do, maybe. Right? I'm 6 foot tall, so I can see back in the cabinet. I can look back in there in that second place where my wife has never seen before. And I can see cups we ain't never used. And unless we happen to have a party of 50 or more at my house, they'll probably never be used. What good is a cup that's never been used? Answer that. What's a cup for? To be filled and emptied and washed and filled again. And then... anybody have the favorite cup? I'm not going to tell you what Alfred's is. Anybody have a favorite cup? I do. I got that favorite cup. It's always on the sink because it just got washed. Are you God's favorite? When there's a great message to tell, are you the one he reaches for? God help me. Are you the one that he knows this one will do? I've used this one many times, and he'll fill that cup. And it will accomplish exactly what he meant it to do. Is there any glory in the cup itself? No. But what glory in that it was used? You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Oh, how we need to be sent. Sent into the field. Sent with a burden that says, I must do this. A passion in our heart that when we hit the ground, we're running. Because we know the purpose, the reason that I breathe is for this.
Yes.
Send me. Yes. Lord, send me.
Thank you, Lord.
The Apostle Paul vehemently, as Saul despised the Christian, didn't he not? To their murder and their demise, their imprisonment, his torture. Yet one day on the road to Damascus, why'd he pick him, man? It's hard to grasp this truth, but God said, I'm going to make him mine. He chose you before the foundation of the world to bring you into the family of God by grace through a little faith that he would give. He brought you into his mighty family, to his glorious kingdom, to be a vessel and an instrument to his use and his purpose. And when he called Saul with a blinding light, he knocked him from his beast, and on his hands and knees he fell, blinded by that light, and cried out, who are you, Lord? He said, Saul, isn't it hard for you to fight against me? Have you not found it difficult to kick against these thorns? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He said, but this day, you're no longer Saul. I'm giving you a new... It don't sound to me like Apostle Paul doing any asking or begging. He got picked. How am I different from Saul? Was I not picked from the foundation of the world? Picked to be a part of the family of God. Picked to be born into a family that would introduce me to Jesus Christ. And one day find myself sitting on a bench at 9 years old and the Holy Spirit say, "You're lost. But I'm fixing to make you mine." Had no idea, did you? Had no idea that he had ever used me for anything. But as a child, as a messenger, as an instrument to God, what good are we unless we're in use? I'm going to give this analogy as we close. This is an instrument. Don't answer. It's a trick question. Can you hear it? No. Does it look good? It's pretty new, yeah. But what good is that if it's always there doing this, which is what? Nothing. Nothing. There's a lot of good-looking Christians. Yeah. Is that you? He gave the commission. We have it, I know. Yeah. But we don't do it. And I believe that what's at the heart of what Jesus was saying in Luke 10:2 was this. We need to pray that God would get a hold of the laborers and send them. Send them with a passion and a zeal and a mission in their heart that they're undenied. They go because it is the one thing they live to do. You've never been played like Jesus can play you. Amen. There's never been a sound come from your lips like what Jesus can bring forth. Amen. Right? I mean, people far better than me with much greater skill and understanding and knowledge and giftedness can take this thing and they can make it sound extraordinary. But it's just the instrument. Within itself, there's no inherent beauty. But when someone gets a hold of it, that knows what to do. Yeah. It becomes useful. Somebody built this guitar from the Guild Guitar Company. They packaged it. You know what they did with it? They sent it. They sent it to a little shop in Maryville. They had no idea that my guitar would get stolen right from that stand. Somebody broke in here, stole one thing. The poor preacher's pitiful guitar. They were desperate, weren't they? And my family went to that shop and they picked that guitar that was sent. And they gave it to me for Christmas. And it sits in the case most of the week.
Not doing anything. I'm afraid, like most Christians, not making a sound. You know why? Because the one that owns it doesn't bother to open the case. I just want to know if God's using you. Has he sent you? This guitar's got one purpose. One purpose. That's why it was made. To make music. That's all it does. If it sit in the case until Jesus come back, what good really was it? So I'm going to ask us to pray today in a different way. Jonah said, I'm not going. He said, yeah, you are. When I'm finished with you, he said, you'll want to go. And he did. You know why? Because God said, I'm going to use you. Now that's being picked. That's being sent. Right? Could God have just picked someone else? Could have, yeah. Could he have just sent someone else? Could have, yes. But God said, my purpose for you, Jonah. And as far as I know, it's the only thing I ever read about him. The one thing he had to do. In all of his life, he had to do one thing that we know of. And that was to take a message to Nineveh. And when God said, go to Nineveh, he said, nope. God said, you will. Because your purpose is to go to Nineveh. And when he was done with Jonah, he went to Nineveh. Was he a good prophet? No, he's ornery as they come. Right? Even when Nineveh repented, he sat up there and whined about it. I knew this had happened. I knew he'd be merciful to him if they prayed. He didn't go down very well in the history book, but I can tell you what he ended up. And that was used of God. His purpose in life was accomplished, as far as we know. He did what God... I want to know, has God sent you? Pray you, would you help me pray that God would send the laborers into the harvest? I know there's laborers, right? Every one of you are laborers. You're all messengers. You're all instruments. You're all cups. Every one of you. What I'm asking you to do is to help me pray today that God would pick you up and send you into the world. Send you to your neighbor. Send you to your friend. Send you to your school. Wherever he chooses to play you as the instrument, I'm just saying, help me pray that God would send us to wherever we're supposed to go. Send us to those people that need to hear. Send us to those who are desperate without him. Send us as you would. The message, come and get a song. The Bible said in verse number 1, said that he had picked 70 that he was also going to send. The 12, they already understood partially, but he had picked 70 more. And so he sent them out in parties of two. So 35 sets of two went out. And he sent them every direction. And they had a purpose. Jesus said, I want you to go into each one of these places and I want you to prepare that place for my coming. He said, I'm coming. I'm going to visit them. I'm going to pass through. And I expect the two of you, when you go into that town, that everybody knows I'm coming. So I'm not sure what the message is. He's coming. He didn't tell me if you're the first, but he's coming. You might be the last one on the 35 list. I don't know.
But he's coming. Who's coming? Jesus is coming. He's coming to your city. He's the healer. He's the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. He's coming. He's coming. Let's be real about it. My only real purpose, hear me, is to let somebody else know he's coming. And if my job is to let you know, what good is it if I don't go? So I'm praying, Lord, we got some awesome laborers. But a lot of them don't feel like they know what to do. I think that's true. A lot of them feel like they're helpless in this chaos. A lot of them don't think they have any power to make a difference in any way. What I'm praying, Lord, is that you would look upon the heart of the laborers in this particular little fellowship and that you would send us. Rest upon me as you did Abram, where he knew nothing but to stand up, grab up, and go. Set on me as you did Moses, who marched into Pharaoh's house and said, let his people go. Send me as you did Isaiah when he was in awe of your glory and purged of his sin. He raised his hand and said, I'll go. And tell him. I'll tell him. Send me. Send me. I'm not going to get long here. I just want you to grasp the enormity of this truth. Old Testament, yeah, they're there. New Testament, I talked to Paul. They're there. Same kind of sending, right? Same thing. But did it happen after that? Yeah. You ever study in your history book as a child, the Dark Ages? 13th and the 14th and the 15th centuries of man. And God came to an old Catholic monk and laid his hand on him. And he said, Martin, I need you to do something different. You know what he did to him, Lee? That old Catholic monk, he opened up his word and he said, let me show you something. In the eyes of Martin Luther were opened to the Christ. And he immediately saw the error of his ways in the church that he was a part of. And he immediately began to write 95 different theses and went right then and nailed them to the church door and said, here I stand. It wasn't just Martin Luther, it was Knox, Calvin, right? He didn't pick just him. But you see what he did with that handful of men that he sent. What do they call it today? The Great Reformation. The Protestant Reformation. They were just men. But God said, I'm going to pick this little sorry monk who's been so upside down. He'd been trying to figure it out, but don't know. I'm going to show him. And he opened up his word. He opened up the Galatians and he opened up the Ephesians and he opened up the grace of God that was absent of the works of man and the indulgences the church had created and all of these things. And he set out from there and they changed the world for Christ. They changed the world for Christ. You say, well, we're too far gone. We're at the end of time. Jesus is coming back. He may be. But it ain't no darker now than it was dark then. And you know what God did? He sent a few people to change it. To wake them up. You read about the great revivals of America called the Great Awakenings. They say there were three in America alone. Great awakenings. You know how those started? God picked him some men. God picked him some people, and he began to play. And when he played, it changed cultures. Changed cultures, changed governments, changed people. It's no coincidence that Jesus said, no, here's what you pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest. Help me pray that, would you? And then be willing, like Isaiah, to raise your hand up. Say, I don't want to miss it, Lord. Make me the vessel that you can use. And wherever you send me, I'll go. Stand with us. The reformations, the awakenings, everything that God does, it was because he sent people into the world to tell the news. To tell the news. Can he use you as we sing? If you're here today and need to pray, the altar's open. God, help me to get my heart right to the place that I'm just a vessel, but used, right? Not usable, used. Used in a way that people, when they see it, it affects them. Join us in prayer.